welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
From which we wait, eagerly wait, for our Savior, who will transform our lowly body, you could just say this natural mortal body, to be conformed into his glorious body. You know, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he had a glorious body that could do amazing things. And the Bible says that similarly, these mortal bodies are going to be transformed into a body like he has. Here's how it's stated in the Amplified. Philippians 3:20. It says, but we are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, which is in heaven. And from it we also earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah as Savior, who will transform and fashion anew the body of our humiliation to conform to and be like the body of his glory and majesty by exerting that power which enables him even to subject everything to himself. That's well put. That's the Amplified. So, again, in the New King James, it says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior. Amplified said, we are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, which is in heaven, and from it we also earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as Savior. So, what we're seeing here is the Apostle Paul is, declaring our citizenship is in heaven. You know, sometimes people wonder, am I going to go to heaven when I die? Well, your citizenship's already there. Your citizenship is in heaven. That's what we call the assurance of salvation. I know I'm born again. I know God has put his spirit in me crying, Abba, Father. I know in whom I've believed. And it's incredible as you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, how real the revelation of heaven can get to you as you begin to set your mind on things above. One of those things that are above is heaven, the third heaven. Your citizenship is there. You know, the Bible says that now we only know in part, but then we're going to know fully, even as we are fully known. All right? So we don't know everything about heaven. We don't know everything about the glories of heaven, but we do know in part. And the part that we have is the part that we've been given. And so it's amazing to see how much we have of that part of what we know about where we're going, heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, what we call the third heaven. Why do we call heaven the third heaven? It's referred to as the third heaven in Scripture because from a standpoint of heavens, you've got your atmosphere here, which would be the first heaven. You've got space, which is the second heavens. And then you've got heaven itself, which is the third heaven. And we know from Scripture, too, that the Apostle Paul actually was translated to that third heaven. The Bible says he saw things, he heard things that were unlawful to speak down here. But he saw the glory and the amazing wonders of heaven. And so as the Apostle Paul is speaking, you have to understand he's speaking from that context of knowing something about heaven. And he's saying, our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, which is heaven. Yes, I am a citizen of the United States of America. All right? I'm a citizen of Door County. I'm a citizen of Fish Creek. All right? These are temporary citizenships that will pass away someday, that will cease. But there is a citizenship that will not pass away. It's not a citizenship you're going to have when you die. It's a citizenship you have right now. You're born again, child of God. You have a citizenship in heaven. And what we're going to do is we're going to take that concept of citizenship this morning. We're going to put it under the magnifying glass and see what that means. We know in part, you would be amazed at the part that we know. You will be amazed at what the Bible has already shown us about our citizenship in heaven. So this morning, we're going to talk about simply your citizenship, your citizenship in heaven. You are a card-carrying member of heaven. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. That's your card. The Bible says the Spirit was given to us as a guarantee of the promise that's to come. The Spirit of God in you, the Holy Spirit. What, you know you're not that your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit? Yes, I know it. The Holy Spirit lives in me and is a promise, a foretaste of what's to come. But my citizenship is in heaven. Let's take a little closer look at that. What do we mean, your citizenship is in heaven? Well, in the first place, you have a place there. You have a place in heaven. Jesus put it this way. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Now that's pretty emphatic, isn't it? That Jesus would stop and make a clarifying remark like that. If it weren't true, I wouldn't have said it. All right? He's not saying this for drama or effect or a false sense of comfort. He's saying this is true. "In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I love that. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." You think of heaven, and you think of this amazing, glorious place, clouds of glory, hundreds and millions of people and angels, just this mass of glory. And it is. I mean, we see amazing pictures from the book of Revelation, glimpses of what heaven is like. But we also see something else about heaven. Jesus has prepared a place for us in heaven. That's pretty profound. You know, people come to Door County all the time. I mean, we see wonderful, you know, this is the time of the year, May 1st. Things are really starting to open up. And this is a place where thousands and thousands of people come to enjoy and to recreate and to just enjoy some rest and relaxation. But you know what people love when they come into Door County many times? They have a place here. There's a place here. It could be snowbirds that come up 6 months out of the year. A place that they own. It could be that place that they rent every year. For us, growing up, I was a kid, we always went to Rice Lake. It was Kittleson's Resort, cabin number 6. And you'd get there that first week of June. School got out earlier back then, I don't know why, but we'd be like the first or second week of June, and we would just be, oh, yes, there it is, good old Kittleson's, good old cabin number 6. And, you know, that old funny little silverware that had the black handles and looked kind of really, really, I don't know. It was just special. And yes, there were a lot of people up, a lot of people fishing and masses of people moving up. But the cool thing of it was, is yeah, I was going to fish, but there was a place for me. I looked forward to that place. And I would enjoy that cabin and I would enjoy the view and just the way the furniture was arranged and where we'd just sit down and, you know, as kids and play cards and just do all kinds of things. There was a place there. It was a place for fellowship. It was a place where I could personally enjoy and take in that vacation. I remember just going out in the boat and I'd go over to my favorite little bay and do some fly fishing, whether there were fish in there or not. I just loved to go to that little bay. It was like another year has passed. It was just a sweet little place of repose, relaxation. But there was a place there. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Not only do you have citizenship there, but you have a place there. You have an address in heaven. You have a location in heaven. It's pretty amazing. What did Jesus say? "In my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." Isn't that going to be amazing? There's going to be the glory of heaven, but there's going to be also the glory of your very own place. The one who knows the number of hairs on your head has gone to prepare a place for you. A place for you. Isn't that great? I know, whatever your vacation may be, wherever you go, sometimes one of the funnest things that there is to look forward to is just that wonderful, glorious place. And I think what we experience, even like this morning in praise and worship, you experience the peace of God, just the rejuvenation of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said that there would be times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. You can just get in the presence of God and be refreshed. You experience His peace. You experience that joy unspeakable and full of glory. These really are just foretastes of what's to come in heaven. I think what's going to be pretty cool when we get to heaven, when we get to our place, you get to your place, is as incredible as heaven is going to be, it's going to be also very wonderfully familiar. Very familiar. You know the scripture talking Jesus in prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." There's going to be a lot of similarities between earth and heaven. It's just without the curse, without the fall, without demonic activity, without all the junk. But you're going to get to heaven, and there's going to be a joy that you've experienced before, a peace that you're already familiar with. It's going to be home. And that's the cool thing, again, about a place. And old cabin number 6, that was like my home. I was only there for 2 weeks out of the year. But that was like my other home. When you get to your place that He's prepared for you, it's going to be a lot like home. And think about this too. Not only do you have a place up there, you have a place down here. The scripture tells us this about the body of Christ. It says, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not a hand, am I not of the body?' Is it therefore not, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body?' Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body?' Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But as it is, God has placed and arranged the limbs and organs of the body. God has placed the limbs and organs of the body in each particular one of them, just as He wished and saw fit with the best adaptation." You know, you're a member in this body, a big body of Christ, with millions and millions and millions of people on the earth. And yet He placed you in this body. He gave you a place of function and purpose in this body. Good works He's ordained you to walk in, and He's in you working to will and do those good works. Big body, many members, but you have a place here. He placed you here. That's pretty powerful. You have a sense of significance and purpose because of His placement of you. He said, "You are a this, and you're going to have a special desire and passion for this, a piece of my heart that I've given to you." And you'll notice He's got a lot of His pieces of His heart that He gives throughout His body that make up the whole as we work together as the body of Christ. Well, you have a place down here. He has a place for you in heaven, a place, purpose, design, plans. I mean, you think about those good works He's ordained us to walk in. Are they limited to just this little vapor? Who knows? We're dealing with the part that we know. He's placed in us some amazing good works. He's given us desires, a heart cry, something to do down here, made us a limb. He's given us a place up there. He has prepared a place for us. The same God who looked at you and said, "You go there," has also looked at you and said, "You go there. I prepare a place for you." Your citizenship is in heaven. Praise God. Not only do you have your citizenship there, but we're told also in Philippians, it says, "I implore Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Whose names are in the book of life. Praise God. And you'll see that reference to the book of life throughout the New Testament. The book of life. There is a book there. You have a place there, and there is a book there that has your name in it. It might even have your address to your place. Who knows? But there is a book with your name. You have a place there. That's pretty profound. Your citizenship is in heaven. These aren't fantasies. This isn't far out stuff. This is actually the part that we know. This is the part that we know. These things were written here so we could know these things. Praise God. Amazing. So, our citizenship is in heaven. Praise God. You have a place there. Not only do you have a place there, but you have an account there. Okay? You not only have a place that Jesus has gone to prepare for you there, but you actually literally have an account with your name on it right there. The scripture tells us here in Philippians 4, 15 through 17, he says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." Fruit that abounds to your account. Apparently, the Philippians have an account. Me and you have an account. This is not an account that's a savings account or a checking account or a retirement account, but it is an account. Jesus put it this way. He said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in to steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Wow. That's pretty amazing. Jesus said, lay not up treasures on earth, but it is possible, apparently, according to Jesus, to lay up treasures in heaven. How many times have you heard down here when it comes to investing, you know, get in on this, it's a sure thing. Can't fail, can't miss. There is no such thing as a sure thing down here on earth. Not in the devil's playground. Not in this dispensation. I'm just talking about investing. But there is a sure thing when it comes to investing. And that is when you lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. There is a form of investing that is an absolutely sure thing with God. And the cool thing about God's form of investing and his accounts is that, and especially this day and age, when you hear about a lot of the scandals and people going to jail for taking people's money and doing all kinds of crazy things with it, here Jesus says the treasures that you lay up in heaven, moth, rust can't destroy it, thieves can't break in and steal it. I mean, the stuff that you do down here that can lay up treasures for you in heaven is absolutely a sure thing, and it's absolutely a safe thing. It's completely protected by the bank of heaven who's keeping watch over those accounts. I mean, you think of the Apostle Paul here too. We were just saying how he had been caught up to the third heaven, and he says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." And so he goes on to say, "Therefore, I'm confident I will remain in the flesh." Now here, the Apostle Paul, this is a guy who's, you know, there's a reason he's saying, you know, "I'd rather depart and be with Christ, which is far better." He's been there, done it, came back to his body and finished out his ministry, but he knows what's waiting for him on the other side. And yet, in the light of knowing that and anticipating being with his Lord, he said, "But if I stay down here, it's going to be more fruit." That's pretty amazing. Paul must have, from a heavenly perspective, understood down here the impact of fruit up there to make a statement like that. You know, to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Ah, this is a push and pull. Man, most of us, we've been in the third heaven, like, oh man, I just want to go back. But Paul said, no, man, I see something. I see glory. There is amazing. There's what did he tell the Philippians? He said, man, when you gave in the fruit of my ministry, it's abounding to your account. Jesus said there are treasures in heaven, things that you do down here that affect your account up there. Paul, having been to heaven, said, man, I'd love to go back, but if I stay here and keep doing the work of God, that's going to be more fruit for my labor. Wow, we've got an account up there. And the things that we do down here matter. They impact that account. And it's important to realize not only is that account a sure thing and it is a safe thing, but you have to realize too that God is the one who's watching over and protecting that account. I love what it says in Hebrews. It says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name. I love that. He is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Paul, you know, whoever you believe wrote Hebrews, I believe Paul did, but that's not a big deal. Hebrews says, realize that God is not unjust to forget. What you've done, everything you've done, he remembers. He has kept meticulous track. And what he's saying is, look, you've done so many good things. And God isn't unjust to forget him. He's keeping account of them. He said, be inspired. Don't give up. Don't get sluggish. But keep that same passion to the end, like what the Apostle Paul did at the end of his life. Hey, wow, look, love to go on, but if I stay here in the flesh, it's going to be fruit. Paul kept that same heart, that full assurance to the end. Realize that everything you do down here matters. Now you look here in verse 12, he says, don't become sluggish. It's very common to man, even 2,000 years ago, when you get excited about God and the things of God and spiritual things seem so real and you're tearing it up for the Lord and doing what you know to do, for life to just kind of drag you down, situations, circumstances, and am I really making a difference on this planet of 7 billion people? Really? And the Hebrew writer is saying, yes, you are. Don't become sluggish. What you're doing is matter. God isn't unjust to forget. He is watching over you. It is valuable. What you're doing down here is really, really important. There's a scene out of It's a Wonderful Life that I love so much, where Jimmy Stewart, you know, had said, I should have never been born. And he thinks, yeah, everybody would be better off if I just never been here. And his guardian angel said, you just don't realize how much good you've done. You know, and then gets to show him kind of in the next 15, 20 minutes, whatever it is, going, retracing his life. And he could just see where he showed kindness, little acts of kindness to people throughout his life, the amazing impact that it had on the future of other people, them and other people. And sometimes when you're feeling sluggish, you think, like, oh, I just haven't really done anything. You have no idea how important you are. You have no idea the lives and the people that you've impacted on this earth. You have no idea. But there is somebody who knows every single thing. And he's not unjust to forget one single thing you've done. He's going to be bringing things to your remembrance that you forgot that you ever even did. Wow. You have an account there. Sluggish. Don't become sluggish. People back in Bible days could become sluggish. Well, you know what? We're really in Bible days right now. In fact, until the New Jerusalem from heaven comes down to the glorified earth, we will be in Bible days. After that, then it's new territory. But you are Bible people living in Bible days. So remember that. Especially as you read the Bible, that these people were just like you. They experienced the human condition. They had those temptations to just kind of go, does this really matter? Yeah, it does. Paul writing to the Corinthians, he says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. You have an account in heaven. God is absolutely keeping track to reward you for everything. It's not being up here on a Sunday morning behind a pulpit. It's just following the promptings that the Holy Spirit puts in your heart to do. Little things to say, people to call. It could be just so simple. It could be, you know, it could be steps of faith. It could be courageous things that God's having you do and take some steps of faith, you know, to plow the gospel. And it could be any range, but the thing of it is, it's just doing what God has showed you to do. It's abounding to your account. It affects your account in such a way that the Apostle Paul said, hey, I'm going to hang out a little bit more because I got some fruit. What are we talking about? We're talking about your citizenship in heaven. It's a real place. You have a place there and you have an account there. What you do down here affects your account up there. Your accounts down here are moving targets. They're fluctuating. Your accounts up there never go down in value. They just only go up in value, praise God, as you continue to do what he's called you to do. And then finally, not only do you have a place there, you know, not only do you have an account there, but you have influence there. This is very humbling. You thought you'd have to wait to die and go to heaven before you're going to have an impact in heaven? No, you're impacting heaven right now. Things will change and resonate and move in heaven up there based on what you do down here. We're going to look at the part we know. Might amaze you. But there are things we do down here that actually impact heaven right now. We talked before about how the Apostle Paul was thanking the Philippians because that amazing gift that they gave to him financially was going to be fruit that abounded to their account. But he did say something more about it too. He went on to say, not that I seek a gift, but I seek that fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing. Sent from you a sweet-smelling aroma and an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Paul describes this gift as a financial gift that the Philippian church gave to the Apostle Paul. And this is when nobody was really giving him anything. He's just working night and day to not be a bother to anybody. But then he just gets blessed from this Philippian church. It says, here you go, Paul, we believe in your ministry. And the way he describes that, he said, I received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. In other words, the Philippians were just giving Paul a gift, but in the nostrils of God, it was like, wow, that is very pleasing. Is that possible, to give somebody a financial gift down here and have it bless God in heaven? Yeah. Here's a familiar scripture we see connected with giving and receiving. It says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Praise God. Tremendous promise, blessing of giving and receiving. You can give, you can sow, and it's just like a farmer sowing seeds. The more seeds he sows, the more harvest he's going to get. And God is saying same thing with spiritual things as well, too. As you sow financially into the kingdom of God, it's going to reap a continued harvest as well for you. And he's able to make all grace abound, having all sufficiency for an abundance of every good work. We understand that side of giving and receiving, that there's a blessing to us that we can receive that's according to Scripture. Praise God. But there's another side of the blessing that goes on sometimes behind the scenes that we don't always see with our eyes. As the passage continues, it says, for the administration of this service, talking about the gift, not only supplies the needs of the saints, because Paul was taking up an offering for the saints at Jerusalem who were starving, hungry, famine. And so he's saying the service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Wow. You know, those guys just going to give a gift, help out those Jerusalem saints. Have you ever had that happen? God has put it on your heart to give something to somebody. You may not always see it right there. You may or you may not. But that person turns around. They receive the gift. They say, thank you for obeying God. But then they turn around and go, thank you, Father, for meeting my needs. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And they begin to worship and praise and thank God for his faithfulness because you gave. What are we saying? Your citizenship is in heaven. You have influence there now. You're influencing the praise that goes up to heaven through things that you do. God is receiving praise right now that he would not have been in heaven, that he would not be receiving had somebody not done what God told them to do down here. Ah, that's an amazing thing to think. Oh, I just did what God told me to do, and it's impacting the praise of heaven. Our citizenship is there. We're down here. We're pilgrims. We're aliens, foreigners, strangers, on a missions trip. That's our home. And we affect home base when we obey what he tells us to do down here. So, we have influence in heaven. And when I say giving, it can be giving of money. It can be giving of your time. It can be giving of your talent. All right, let's qualify that too. It's all forms of giving. You know, it's awesome when you see people doing, really finding their place in the body of Christ and doing what God has called them to do, and it blesses the body of Christ, and it causes blessing and praise and glory to God. Hallelujah. So keep that in mind. When God would deal with you to give of yourself in some way, man, it doesn't stop with you giving it and letting go of it. It continues to flow through up to heaven. So our giving influences heaven. Not only does our giving influence heaven, but our living influences heaven as well, too. Jesus exhorting his disciples, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The message puts it this way. Now that I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. I can't tell you how many people have come to Christ just by watching other people. You know, that's where Paul said, your lives, you're an epistle written. You know, you're living the gospel. Praise God. It is an amazing thing to see how just living this life, even when it's hard, even when you're forgiving, and it's not easy to forgive, but you're forgiving by faith, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. People are watching you forgive other people. They're watching you not take revenge. They're watching you not gossip. They're watching you not get even. And they're going, wow, I guess it is possible. How do they do that? Get some curious. Yeah, they're one of the Christian Bible-believing people. Whatever. But wow, that's huge. Shine. Your life can shine in a way that draws people. Jesus put it this way. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples. That's a pretty astounding thing. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Not only does the fruit add to your account, whatever all that means, I don't exactly know, but I know it's good. All right? You have an account in heaven, but there is something else that happens. You bring glory to the Father. And that's what happens here. They see your good works and they glorify your Father who is in heaven. I've seen people whose lives brought such, just the sweet nature and disposition and graceful interaction with people bring lives to people. And I've seen other people come through these church doors that weren't even believers just because they knew that person. They're going, wow, there's got to be something to this. There's got to be something here. God's getting glorified. Paul said, whether by my life or by my death, God is glorified. I will glorify God. I'm telling you what you do down here, it matters. You're influencing heaven now. There is praise going on in heaven that would not be going on had somebody not down here done what they were supposed to do. And you can do it very even quietly. Nobody even knows. Just you and God and maybe just the person you're blessing. But it brings glory to God. When somebody gives pause by something really nice you did to them, it goes, wow, that brings glory to God. You're impacting what's going on in heaven. Right from down here. Jesus put it this way. He said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. This is Jesus talking. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Praise God. Have you ever had a hand in salvation? That is pretty awesome. You don't have to necessarily be the person who wins the person to the Lord. Praise God if you are. If you are sowing into a ministry, if you're contributing in any way to somebody coming to Christ, something happens in heaven. There's joy in heaven. Do people in heaven know what's going on? Well, apparently so. They apparently know when somebody gets saved down here. There's a lot of joy that goes on in heaven when we do stuff down here. We do what God's called us to do down here. We impact, we influence heaven. It's where our citizenship is. It's where our place is. It's where my account is. It's where I have influence in heaven by what I do down here. And I love this passage in the Living Bible. It says, since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from the grandstands, let us strip off anything that slows us down, you could say makes us sluggish, or holds us back, especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. Let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. Keep your eyes on Jesus, our leader and instructor. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterwards. And now he sits in the place of honor by the throne of God. I think the King James says, who for the joy that was set before him gave him that endurance. You know, there's a joy that is set before us. We have a place that Jesus has went to prepare for us that is set before us. We have an account that is set before us. And in the meantime, when we do what God calls us to do down here, we have tremendous influence, impact of what's going on in that third heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that our citizenship is in heaven. Father, help us, Lord, as we are good citizens down here on earth, citizens of this country, of the state, of the county, of the city where we live, Father. Help us to be good citizens from our ultimate citizenship, which is in heaven. Father, help us to see that, you know, this is so temporary. To not be shaken by what's going on down here. To not be confused wherever our dwelling place is down here. Wherever our dwelling place is down here, it's a temporary place. But there is a place that you prepared for us, each of us, that will be our forever place. That true home away from this temporary home. A place of heaven. Even as you've placed us in your body, according as it pleased you, you have given us a place there in heaven, waiting on us. Help us to see it, to be encouraged, to know. Jesus, you said, if these things weren't true, you would have told us so. Well, apparently they're true. We thank you that they are, and we believe it. We thank you for it. And Jesus, we thank you that there is an account. We know that one of these days, each of us will stand before you and give an account. and be rewarded according to deeds done in the body. It's an amazing thought, Father. We recognize it's a safe account. Thieves can't get at it. Moth, rust. It doesn't go down in value. It's a sure thing as we lay up those treasures in heaven. How do we do that? Through our giving and our living. Lord, help us to be faithful, to give. And as we give of our finances, of our time, of our talents, as we give, Father, help us to see past the letting go of the gift and to see the follow-through of blessing and glory that it brings to you, Father. People's needs being met and you getting the credit for it. Hallelujah. Help us to be part of that, Father. The living, Father, to realize, oh, we do have these weights and sins. They so easily beset us. But, Father, we don't want to get sluggish. We want full assurance to the end, like the Apostle Paul, right at the end of his life, saying, hey, I'm going to hang around here. This is fruit that's going to abound. Lord, help us to see that. Our lives are so rich with purpose and meaning. These things that we do, they count. They're impacting heaven right now. They're bringing you glory right now. Those men and women of faith cheering us on from the grandstands who've seen where they've been and where we are, we just thank you for the encouragement of heaven right now. Praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.